Let's open our Bibles to the book of Job this morning, 14th chapter. Job chapter 14. Beginning in verse 1, look at what this says. Man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. I thought I could hear some amens over that. Few days and full of trouble. All right. He cometh forth like a flower. I don't know what kind of flowers. We got a whole bunch of different types of flowers in here today. We make up a bouquet. Come forth like a flower. And it cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. We're kind of temporary. And dost thou open thine eyes upon such an one? And bringeth me into judgment with thee. He's saying, who am I? Who am I? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Think of that. Talk about our ways being hedged up. God has a path for us to travel. And he's appointed the bounds. You can't get outside that path. You have to go where the path goes. Turn from him that he may rest till he shall accomplish as an hireling his day. For there's hope of a tree, if it's cut down, that it will sprout again. There's hope. You cut down a tree and it comes up again, doesn't it? And that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stock thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water it will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant. But man dieth and wasteth away, goes back to the dust from whence he came. Yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? Where is he? As the waters fail from the sea, and the flood decayeth and drieth up, so man lieth down and riseth not, till the heavens be no more, they shall not awake, nor be raised out of their sleep. Oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave, that thou wouldest keep me secret until thy wrath be past, that thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me. And then here in verse 14, he asks this very important question. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Thou shalt call, and I will answer thee. Thou wilt have a desire to the work of thine hands. Years ago, there was chiseled on the rock of Gibraltar three Latin words. Ne, spelled N-E, plus ultra. Translated into English, that is no more beyond. You know where the Rock of Gibraltar was? There at the entrance from the Mediterranean Sea into the Atlantic Ocean, and looking out across the vast expanse of that Atlantic Ocean, the people could see nothing on the other side of it. So no more beyond. That's it. They even put those words on the left edge of the maps that were printed back in that day. And then one day there was a fellow by the name of Christopher Columbus. 1492. He started out into the unknown, uncharted waters toward an unknown destination where man had never been before. The world in his day was convinced there was nothing beyond. Columbus was not of that persuasion. He set sail and discovered the New World. And after America was discovered, by the way, that had been the motto of Spain. The king of Spain sent some men over to that rock of Gibraltar, and they chiseled out that word, no. And left more beyond. More beyond, and that began what we call in history the Age of Discovery. Now I believe that these words of Job in verse 14 are like that. Chiseled in the heart of every man are the words of this question, if a man die, shall he live again? When Jesus came, he, like Columbus, went a little further. And he said, I am the resurrection and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so now, today, by faith, we can chisel out the no and have more beyond. But what is beyond? Beyond death is life. A person who lives with a this life only attitude is a fool. God says that he has put eternity in the hearts of men. Job said, I know that my Redeemer lives. And the Redeemer, who is Jesus, says, because I live, you shall live also. There's more beyond. Through him we have eternal life. Everlasting life. Never-ending life. Abundant life. Jesus tells us in John chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. We're told about that place that eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love him. More beyond. I heard one day about three preachers who were been to a fellowship meeting up in the Colorado area, and they had an afternoon free, so they got together and drove to the top of Pike's Peak there in Colorado Springs. I've been to Colorado and to Colorado Springs several times myself. I've never driven to the top of Pike's Peak. Now there's another place just north of it a little ways called Devil's Head. And I've been to Devil's Head. I drove as far as I could, and then we got out of the car and walked the rest of the way. But it's quite difficult to walk when you are a lowlander with sea level lungs and you're at an altitude of over 9,000 feet. I remember I made it the first time, and later on another trip up there we tried to make it again, and I couldn't do it. The air was too thin and my legs would get wobbly when I walked, and I couldn't make it. I had to sit down there till the ones who were stronger than I could make the trip up and return. But from the top of that mountain, it's kind of like when we go back to the preachers on top of Pike's Peak up there. One of those preachers with tears in his eyes says, "If God's earth looks like this under the curse, think what it'll look like when that curse is lifted." Oh, don't you know it's going to be beautiful? I like to go over into Revelation chapter 21 and verse 10 and stand there with John on top of that great and high mountain, and with the eye of faith see that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending down from God out of heaven. What a beautiful sight. Beyond death is life. Also, beyond death is judgment. Now, that's a word that kind of stirs up our emotions. It gets our heart to beating a little bit faster when we talk about judgment. But listen, don't cringe when you hear that word judgment. Don't let fear set off a fire alarm within your soul at the sound of that word, because it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. The Bible says we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. But have no fear. The purpose of this judgment is not to determine whether you are saved or lost. Some people think it is. They have the wrong concept. Oh, judgment, God's going to tell me whether I'm saved or lost at that judgment. Let me tell you something. If you weren't saved, you wouldn't even be there. That's for Christians. That's for believers. And you're not going to be judged as to whether you're saved or not, whether you'll be allowed to enter heaven or be eternally consigned to hell. That's decided already, right now, this very moment. He that believeth is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already. Already. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. If you are in Christ, there is no condemnation. Well, this is not a judgment of sin, because our sins have already been judged. Christ bore our judgment on the cross of Calvary when he took upon himself our sins, our iniquities, our transgressions, and he died for them. He paid the penalty for our sins on the cross of Calvary. So all of your sins have already been forgiven, or else none of them have. Now, the purpose of this judgment, the judgment seat of Christ, is for rewards. Did you know that you'll get a star? Remember in Sunday school class, you used to get stars for attendance and stars for memorizing verses of scripture, and stars for this and stars for that, stars for bringing a visitor and all this. We even have a song in our hymn book, "Will There Be Any Stars in My Crown?" Every work for Jesus will be blessed. Everything that we have done for Jesus, we'll receive a reward for it. Every righteous act of benevolence that we have shown to our fellow man will be rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ. That's where the rewards will be passed out and distributed to each and every one of us who have earned them. Now, to settle the question that may be in your heart, there is going to be a judgment. Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15, for the unbelievers. But this is called the Great White Throne Judgment. That's the time when death and hell will give up the dead that are in them, and they shall stand before God, and the books will be opened, and they'll be judged according to their works by that which is recorded in God's books. But that judgment will not determine who's going to heaven and who's going to hell. This is going to determine the everlasting punishment for those who have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ and have said no to God's invitation to, "Will you be saved?" Those who have died without Christ have been in hell ever since the time of their death. And when they stand before the great white throne judgment of God, their judgment will be meted out according to their works. And they will be cast into the lake of fire, which is everlasting torment and suffering. Beyond death is judgment. But beyond death is also resurrection. I read one time about a king, some country that had died. They had a very elaborate funeral for him. They thought an awful lot of him. They had a casket prepared out of solid stone. They carved the casket out of this stone, and they had a stone slab lid that covered it over, and on that lid they had engraved the words, "Sealed forever." And the body of this king, when he died, was placed in that casket and he was buried. But unbeknownst to the people who buried him, there was an acorn from an oak tree that had fallen into that casket. And somehow or other, through the miracle of God, that acorn grew inside that stone coffin. Must have been from the dust of the decayed body where it got its nourishment. But it burst that stone asunder. And someone said, if nature can do that, think what God can do. Now, during the earthly ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, he demonstrated his power over death, did he not? Four times. First of all, he and his disciples were walking down the road one day by the city called Nain, and they met a funeral procession. People were weeping and wailing and mourning the passing of a young man who was the only son of a widow woman. And the widow there, in her grief, was weeping over the loss of her son. Jesus stopped the funeral procession, went over to this young man, and told him to arise. And he did. It's recorded over there in Luke chapter 7. And on another occasion, he was going down a road, had a destination in view, when he was accosted by a fellow whose name was Jairus. He was the ruler of a synagogue, a Jewish synagogue. And he told Jesus, he said, my daughter is sick. She's 12 years old and she's dying. Could you come and heal her? Naturally, Jesus went with him. And they were almost there when some of the people come running out to him and said, it's too late, it's too late, she's already dead. She took her last breath just a little while ago. Jesus didn't miss a step. He just kept on going. Everybody said, but Jesus, it's too late, she's already dead. You leave that up to me. And he went in there to where the corpse of this little 12-year-old girl lay on the bed. And he spoke to her and said, arise. And she did. She did. He had that kind of power. On another occasion, he went down to Bethany. He heard that his dear friend Lazarus had died. Lazarus had two sisters, Martha and Mary, and they come running out to him and said, Lord, if you'd been here, you wouldn't have died. If you'd have been here, you had the power to heal his sickness that he died of, and he wouldn't have died. Jesus said, where did you lay him? Where did you bury him? Oh, he's out here in the cemetery. He's been out there for 4 days, buried already, in a tomb. Show me where you laid him. They went out there. The girl said to him, what are you going to do? I'm going to raise him from the dead. Lord, no. By now, his body has begun to decompose. In 4 days, it stinks. The stench of death. Jesus said, roll away the stone. They complied with his wishes. Lazarus, come forth. And he did. And Jesus said, loose him and let him go. Jesus had that power. All it took is a come forth. One day he's going to shout that command again. And the graves of all of those saints who have died and their bodies have decomposed and gone back to the dust of the earth, they're going to rise from the dead. And they'll have a new body fashioned like unto his glorious body. They will be incorruptible. They will be immortal. They will be undefiled. And they'll be in his likeness. They'll be given a body that pleases him. It's like I heard of a science teacher one time in his class. He was giving a demonstration, and he had a glass of acid out here, and he took a golden cup and put it in that container of acid. And that acid went to work on it, and the first thing you know, that silver cup was dissolved in there. It had become a part of the acid. Then he took some salt and put that salt in that acid. And when he put it in there, it began to foam and fizzle, and the first thing you know, all of the silver that had dissolved in that acid settled on the bottom. He took all that silver out of that container of acid, and from that silver he fashioned another cup that was more beautiful than the one that had been put in the acid. And he said to his class, if man can do this, think what an infinite God can do. With God, nothing is impossible. If God can take the dust of this earth and make man out of it to start with, after man dies and returns to the dust, God can still take that dust and remake it over again into an image that pleases him. Beyond death is resurrection. Now we're approaching the winter months. Out here, we Southern California, we don't see this too much, but in some parts of the country, the leaves have already turned yellow, and in many cases, the leaves have fallen to the ground, and the bare branches of the trees are still standing in the air. For all practical purposes, that tree looks dead. And it'll stay that way through the ice and the snow and the rains of winter. But come springtime, you're going to see life come again to that tree. Now, we're told in the Bible that the resurrection is going to come for those who are alive in Jesus, who are dead in Christ, and they shall live. The trump of God shall sound. The dead in Christ shall rise. The word of God, they say, is like a garment. When you read your Bible, keep this in mind. It's like a garment. But underneath the garment, you will find the body. And you go inside the body and look into the body, and you will find the soul. So let's not just look at the letter of the word when we read it. Let's see the meaning of it, the intent, the teaching of it, and then let's make the application. Because after death, is resurrection. And then also beyond death is God. Listen to Job again. I know my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand in the latter day upon the earth. And though after my dead body is returned to dust, yet in my flesh, the flesh of a new body, I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my own eyes shall behold and not another. It's wonderful, isn't it? Beyond death, we shall see God. Philip came to Jesus one day. He said to him, "Show us the Father. It's been man's desire to see God. All the time man's been on the earth, they want a God that they can see." That's the reason why the Israelites came to Aaron while Moses was on top of the mountain and said, "Make us a God that we can see." And he made one out of gold, a golden calf, and presented it to them and said, "This is your God." They could see it. They could touch it. They could feel it. They built an altar to it and offered offerings. They began to worship that golden calf because they could see it. But we have an unseen God. And people without faith don't believe there is a God. We call them atheists. Jesus said to Philip, he said, "Philip, have you been so long with me and you don't know? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." And when we see God, we will see Jesus, because he is God. There's a song that we used to sing that says, "It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ." Someday the silver cord shall break, and I no more as now shall sing, but oh, the joy when I awake within the palace of my King, and I shall see him face to face and tell the story, saved by grace. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. What a day that will be, because some golden daybreak, Jesus will come, and we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. More beyond. More beyond. If in this life only we have hope, we are of all men most miserable. But we have a hope that extends past this life into eternity through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand together, please, with our heads bowed in prayer. Our Father, what a joy it is to anticipate by faith what you have done for us. The accomplishments of Calvary will be around for eternity. It was through the shedding of your blood on the cross that we have so great salvation. If there is even one person in this congregation today that has never been to the cross and never had their sins washed away by the blood of Jesus, they've never been forgiven their sins, they have no hope of eternal life, let today be the day when they will awake and come to the realization that they're lost and they need to be saved. And let them step out by faith and take Jesus as their personal Savior today. Have your will and your way in this invitation. You are a God who can address the needs of our heart, and you know each one of us and our particular need. You've promised to supply that need through your power that you have. So, Father, we commit this service to you. Use it for your name's honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
What's our 484. 484. Jesus' sake.
484. Been a wonderful congregation this morning. Appreciate the attention that you gave to the preaching of the Word of God. And I pray that God will watch over you this afternoon and bless you. Remember our service tonight as the Weatherfords will be here singing for us in concert, 6 o'clock, and come and be prepared for a blessing from the Lord. They've been with us several times over the past years, and we've always been blessed by their singing. God uses them in a great way. So remember that tonight. Remember our Wednesday night service at 6 o'clock. Come and join with us in our Bible study at that time.